Hey, Emily.
Hey, Stephanie.
Want to do a podcast?
Actually, I think it's time we sync up with someone else.
Welcome to Sync Up's Cycle Chat, a space for women to be educated, empowered, and inspired. I'm so happy that you're listening to today's podcast episode, wherever you are right now. And in today's podcast episode, we will focus on, again, ADHD, of course, but ADHD specifically in girls and in women. I'm Dr. Yanina, a cognitive psychologist and a certified ADHD coach. And I have ADHD myself, and that's why I also founded my company, ADHD Empowerment, where I work every day with ADHDers all over the world. And I absolutely love it. Just being able to connect with other ADHDers is always fun and always exciting. This is a topic that is very dear to my heart because I am a woman and I also have ADHD. And it took me a long time to firstly recognize that I have ADHD and then also to get diagnosed. And I'm definitely not alone with this because over half of the women with ADHD do live their lives without ever getting an ADHD diagnosis because the symptoms of ADHD often presents so differently in women, and that is due to various factors that we also discuss in today's episode. Although awareness is growing, which is absolutely amazing, and ADHD advocates and researchers are really trying to change things, ADHD is still often very much misunderstood, and many people and even professionals, even doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists, teachers, mental health providers still think of ADHD as kind of the hyperactive boys disorder, which is very unfortunate because that leads to all these women and also all these boys or men who might just present their ADHD differently to be missed and not get the help that they need. Unfortunately, a lot of adults, and again, also mental health providers, also teachers, aren't taught to recognize all the symptoms and the signs of ADHD, and especially in the way that it presents in girls. And this, again, has various factors, but also a huge factor is that the symptoms that we use to diagnose ADHD are largely built on research that solely focus on males, meaning that many of the key presentations that women face get missed because they're not even listed in the diagnostic criteria and also are just now in the recent years, in the recent decade, researched and talked about. For me, I got diagnosed, even though I always suspected that I had ADHD, as I never presented the key symptoms of ADHD, like the hyperactivity. I was never disruptive in school. I was never mischievous. I was getting along well with the teachers, with the students. I didn't recognize that this could also be ADHD, but kind of in the back of my mind, for some reason, I always suspected it to be. But I didn't actually get diagnosed until I was doing my PhD and I was doing my own research on the topic of ADHD and working with ADHDers. That's when I started to recognize that a lot of symptoms that these kids and these adolescents that I was working with presented also resonated with me and that I could also see them. So once I really became aware of that, I started to, of course, as in very ADHD typical fashion, started to hyper-focus on the topic and try to learn everything about the topic that was known about, that the research said, and that ultimately made me pursue my diagnosis. But also just getting the diagnosis wasn't easy. It was definitely hard because I wasn't showing that typical ADHD symptoms and signs, like the hyperactive boy kind of way. So my psychiatrist initially told me that I can't possibly have ADHD because I'm too smart and too successful. I never dropped out of school. I'm not taking any drugs and I'm doing my PhD. I couldn't possibly have ADHD. But because I've done all the research prior to actually going there, I was prepared to just start that discussion why I could have ADHD and why it would be super important for me to get tested. And then he agreed and I got tested and got my official ADHD diagnosis. And that really changed my life. Just being equipped with that knowledge of, okay, it's not me. If I constantly run into things and I'm super, I can't control my kind of my body and I always drop things, or it's hard for me to be very precise when it comes to kind of transfer comparing data from different data sheets, I knew that was due to my ADHD and my brain just being very different. And then I started to learn more and more and really started to focus on also my strength and building on that and then getting help and support for my limitations. And the ADHD treatment that I got from me, it was ADHD coaching, was beyond helpful. It really, I would say, it truly changed my life. So getting a diagnosis is definitely nothing bad, and it can be super helpful just knowing that, being equipped with that knowledge, and then getting help and support that you deserve and need. And while I was doing my PhD, I also really noticed that when I was diagnosing teens and children with ADHD, a lot of times their mom came back and asked me if it would be possible for me to also check if they have ADHD to refer them to a specialist for adults who was able to also diagnose adults with ADHD, because they noticed that once their kids got diagnosed and I talked through all the symptoms, that they also have ADHD. And that really made me aware of that huge gender gap in, I guess, unfortunately, in many aspects in life, but also specifically when it comes to health and when it comes to mental health disorders, specifically like ADHD, that there isn't enough research out there when it comes to women and how it presents in girls or women. And there's also not a lot of then education for others to recognize that. So that's why I became super passionate about not only ADHD, but also spreading awareness on the topic of ADHD and females. And that's why I'm also writing a book, which will be out later this year, specifically just for women and ADHD. Now the question is, why is it so hard for women to get diagnosed? Because the guidelines for diagnosis for ADHD are the same for men and for women. But however, how we as women present the symptoms and our lived experience are often very, very different. And one of the reasons is that unlike boys or men, we often internalize our ADHD symptoms. And boys or men, they often externalize their ADHD symptoms. And specifically boys, they often act out their symptoms. So let's say, for example, a boy in school refuses to do their work. They might become defiant against the teacher or his parents, and he's expressing his frustration and his challenges outward. And even though then he might get into trouble at school or at home, depending where he is, it still gives him the attention, and then people are able to think further and then refer him to a doctor, to a mental health specialist, and get the diagnosis and thus the treatment. But unfortunately for women, we internalize many, many times our symptoms, and then we start, instead of acting it out, we start blaming ourselves for all the difficulties that we face in completing tasks at school or to find friends, and especially if we see our peers and our friends doing these tasks very easily and we seem to struggle, that really often leads to self-blame and can affect our confidence. And then of course, because we're all internalizing all the symptoms, all these feelings, it's hard for other people to notice that and then to get the help and support that we need. The question is, why do we even do that? And I guess here again, there are many, of course, many, many different reasons for us women doing that, but I would say one of the major ones that are still the gender norms that are still there today. And of course, we're slowly getting away from it more and more, but they're still here. And as women, we're still expected oftentimes to have it all together, to pretty much be perfect, to be amazing at work, then have our full-time job, then be at home, be able to cook dinner, get groceries, do the cleaning, keep everything neat and tidy, and know where everything kind of belongs. We're expected to be super well behaved and to not show and express anger or any hyperactivity outbursts. And of course, this masking behavior, again, makes it so hard for us to show that we're struggling, because we feel like we aren't allowed to struggle. We aren't allowed to show our challenges. And that masking behavior is basically like camouflaging your ADHD symptoms. So the masking behavior can be shown very differently, but one example would be you don't speak your mind because you want to talk, getting labeled the chatty Cathy, like you're talking too much, or you start arriving at events super, super early so you're not late. If you continue to mask, I guess it might have some positives for the short term because you're not too late to the event, because you arrive 2 hours early, but over time, it can really have long-term consequences because it's exhausting, it's super stressful, and it can also really impact your confidence and self-esteem because you're constantly trying to be someone else and not show your struggles, and you're kind of eating up all the struggles and kind of keeping it hidden under the surface. And then even if we don't mask our symptoms, and let's say we are hyperactive, but we just show it a bit differently, so instead of running around the classroom or disrupting the teacher or being mischievous, we might start talking too much. But instead of then getting the help that we need, it's often labeled as chatty Cathys, right? Because women, they love to talk, they're always chatting, and it's nothing to be kind of concerned about. It's just typical women behaving in a woman fashion. Then also a lot of females do have the inattentive ADHD subtype. That's all something that we talked about in the first ADHD episode. So instead of disrupting the class because you're hyperactive, you're again more turned inwards and you're very inattentive, you have trouble concentrating, but then you're more of the daydreamer and you get labeled as the daydreamer. For me, I was definitely the daydreamer in school, and I was not showing any hyperactive symptoms. And I think that, of course, made it so much more difficult for others to see that I'm struggling or not paying attention. And I was actually once sent to the doctor for a hearing test because my teachers thought I had hearing problems because I would never pay attention and never listen. In fact, it turned out much later, many, many years later, it was ADHD. And for women, our average diagnosis age is at around late 30s, mid to late 30s. And for males, it's age 7. So that just shows what a huge gender gap there is when we talk about ADHD. And now if you are kind of able to recognize yourself and you are a woman and you expect you have ADHD, or you know someone who is a woman with ADHD, there is definitely help out there. And just because you haven't been diagnosed at a younger age, you still have the right for a diagnosis and you still have the right for treatment and support. And I think, again, it's super, super important that you do get the help that you need, because untreated ADHD can really become a challenge and make life so much harder. And if you don't get the diagnosis and thus the treatment, it can also often lead to comorbid disorders like depression, anxiety, or just a very low self-image. So if you think that you have ADHD, I would highly suggest that you go, maybe first you could do your some research on your own, talk to family members if you feel comfortable, and then go to your GP or to your psychiatrist, psychologist, and ask them about ADHD and getting an ADHD diagnosis. I do suggest, if you do that, depending on the doctor, of course, not everyone is the same. And also now more and more doctors and physicians are becoming very knowledgeable about the topic of ADHD. But of course, not everyone is there yet. So coming prepared to the consultation, to the diagnosis, can be super important. Because then even if they say, no, it's not possible, you're too successful to have ADHD, you're too smart, you're already an adult, it's not possible, or you're a female, you can't have ADHD, you're equipped to kind of discuss it and share the proof that you really could have ADHD. Also on my Instagram, I also have a link to a guide that you can take to a diagnosis session for just to be prepared, which has helped a lot of also boys and men, but also mainly females, kind of know how to approach the session, to know what they should know when they go there and what they should bring, what they should know about, what they should say. Can just be very helpful, especially if that's kind of a stressful situation for you. Also, if you have any other question when it comes to, again, ADHD or being a female with ADHD, what that means, you can always email me under ADHDEmpowermentCoaching@gmail.com, or message me through my website, which is ADHDEmpowermentCoaching.com, or send me a DM on Instagram, which is ADHD_empowerment_coaching. And I hope you're having a great day or a great evening wherever you are right now in the world. And I am so excited for the next episode. And we hope you sync up with us next time.